Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barber, and with me is Nicola Bird. And today we're going to talk about a topic that we actually have a hard time even coming up with a name for it, but I think we've arrived at the true cause of overeating. And it's something Nicola brought up when, in working with people, they're missing the point or not identifying what's really underlying moments when people she works with overeat. So it's kind of like people think, oh, I just have a sweet tooth, I just like that food, or like maybe a particular event, then we're like, oh, I just overeat at those sort of events. So there's something there where there's something else under that. It isn't just a particular food that you just happen to like because other people like that food and they don't overeat it. So there's something else going on, and we're gonna, I guess, talk about the missing the point, I guess, of that, and then trying to get to the true root of it. That, I don't know, was that a chunky intro?
No, that's a fine intro.
Okay.
And because what I have discovered and found with most people who are eating more than they want to eat and struggling with trying to modify their eating is that they don't identify the cause of eating as emotional eating. They tend to stereotype emotional eaters as people who they might like maybe are morbidly obese, that will be eating that binge in, like, in uncontrollable ways where you're having the whole chocolate cake and
follow that up with a quart of ice cream, and
that's right, and that kind of thing, and that's emotional eating. That's when, so it's kind of an exaggerated cartoon-like character of emotional eating.
Oh, and then so in their I get you. So in their mind, that like that picture is emotional eating. So they couldn't clearly be an emotional eater because they aren't acting in that way that they've constructed in their mind. Like, they're not morbidly obese. They don't have like chocolate all over them and just diving into the food.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and the typical stereotype is, I just like to eat. I just like food. I hear that pretty much across the board. I just always thought I just liked food.
Right. So true emotional, a true emotional eating problem is something beyond me, more extreme, something that's more pathological. I'm just a foodie.
That's right.
Okay. So they're setting this false dichotomy up in their mind that there's a line and they're not across that line.
That's right. And when we reduce it to the simplest, if you're not eating, if you're eating for reasons other than hunger, you are emotionally eating. That might sound like really extreme, but fundamentally it's true. Your emotions are driving you, that because physiological hunger, when you're finished, you're content, you're good enough. When you need to have that piece of cake, and it's not that there's anything wrong with having a slice of cake, or I'm not saying that. But a lot of that is it's emotionally driven. And when you don't really need to have it, you're not hungry, you don't need it, that is emotional.
Let me qualify this. Let me tease out the social aspect of having a few extra bites at a social event. That's sort of, we're not talking about that. Like, everyone kind of eats socially together. We're talking about when you're going to, when you're clearly going to excess, and it's not about, well, being at a social gathering, like a holiday or a wedding, where of course everyone partakes in all the different courses because it's social. We're not talking about that. We're talking about overdoing it and not recognizing why you're overdoing it.
That's right. And it's also a pattern. And where you are finding yourself repeating this, you know, a couple times a week maybe, or more than you want, where it's controlling you rather than you controlling it. Maybe that's the best way to understand it.
Yeah, well, and I like the fact that you said pattern, because the other things I talked about are one-offs, right? Like, you get invited to a wedding, you're like, I'd say most of us eat a more robust meal at a wedding. It's usually multiple courses. Like, most people don't sit down to a multiple course meal every night, but at a wedding, that's an event, right? Or you get invited to a cookout, or you go to a birthday party, something. Those are events. We're not taught, those aren't patterns.
No.
We're talking about a pattern that's recurring daily, if not every couple of days. Like, it's happening all the time.
Or it's a pattern, and where you feel, like I said, it's controlling you rather than you controlling it.
Yeah, so I guess putting the two together is really what we're after. Yeah. A pattern that's controlling you.
That's right, where you're like, I don't really need to eat the cake, but I'm going to have it.
Yeah.
And emotional eating, and just to distinguish it, for the listeners versus physiological hunger. And there are other, but just quickly, physiological hunger is not immediate. Like, you know, you could be hungry at lunch and you know you need to eat, but you're busy and you can put it off for an hour and it's okay. And not sit there and focus on food. You know, like you can just like, oh, I'll get to that in half an hour. When you're emotionally hungry, you've got to have it. Like that food is sitting in your mind.
Yeah.
You want this thing. You want it now. You have to have it now. Mm-hmm. It's immediate urgency. And again, it controls you where you're like, I know I don't really want to have the cake. I know I've had enough food or the ice cream or the chips or whatever, but I need to have it.
Yeah.
Oh, I really like food. I just want to have that taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
That's emotional. Mm-hmm. But if you just have the bag and you're like, well, I'm not having two bags. I'm not having three bags. And so when you deconstruct it and really start to take a deeper look at it, then you're not just simplifying it in, I just like food.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty cultural, the idea that loving food, liking food.
Everybody likes food.
Everybody likes food.
Yeah.
But when it's getting in your way, when it's not, it's preventing you from achieving your goals, when you're struggling with it, then there's an emotional relationship to the food that you really need to look at. So it's not really struggling with, it's my sweet tooth that's driving me. No.
Yeah, no. And then it could be, and we don't know the reason why, it's just, that's like obviously requires more work, but what we're talking about is getting to at least identifying that it isn't just...
Right.
It isn't just a liking of one kind of food over another.
Right. And it's like that, it's a bit of it gets a little out of control feeling when it's emotional. If you just like food, you'd be able to have a bite and put it back.
Mm-hmm.
Say, oh, my sweet tooth is satisfied, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
If you've eaten enough, you don't need to eat anymore and you're full and you just want that bite, one piece, you chew it, you're finished, you're satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
When emotional, you have that one bite and you just can't stop there. You need to have more.
Mm-hmm.
You need satisfying this emotional hunger. Likely you'll be thinking you're physically hungry, but if you pay a little more attention, if you plug more and you're attuned to yourself, you realize, wait a minute here, I'm not really hungry. This is not a physical hunger.
So is there any technique you can think of as a one-off? Because I'm sure this is what people are thinking.
Absolutely.
It's like, well, how do I know? What's the one or two internal dialogue questions I can ask myself in that moment, literally
right,
as it's happening?
Yes.
Maybe you're not going to, it's highly unlikely to think you're going to solve this problem with this question. At the very least, you can better identify it as it's happening.
Well, the mindfulness is really important. If you start to label it differently, this is understanding there's physiological hunger and there's emotional hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Those two distinguish the two.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that physiological hunger is not immediate. Emotional hunger is. Physiological hunger, when you are full, that's enough. You don't need to keep eating. You don't need to have the cake. It's not required.
Mm-hmm.
That's emotional hunger when you need to go and have that other item, eat more and more when you're satiated. So if you first have the distinguishing factor, so you're paying attention to yourself now versus mislabeling it as a sweet tooth or I just like food.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually then you can eat a little slower and slow your breathing and breathe a little slower. So you're paying a little more attention to yourself as you're eating or going for the food. You're asking yourself questions and then asking what emotion is maybe driving this, if you know you just have to have it, or if you feel you can't stop in that moment. Like, you know, or it's feel like it's controlling you. And one thing you can do is if you can just delay the gratification, which can be very difficult.
Yeah.
Driven.
Oh, yeah. I'm wondering if right in the middle of that, since you can't stop it from happening, but
mm-hmm.
you can be, this will be weird if you do this, and we all do it at some point at least, or at least a lot of us have done this. I know I've done this sort of thing. But I wonder what it will be like to actually, you don't try to stop it, but you try to label how you feel right in the middle of it.
Yes, you do. And if you could, and which is difficult. So I'm saying this with an understanding that for each person hearing this, well, I can't do that, but do your best.
Yeah.
Just wait. Give it a moment. If you can just distract yourself for half an hour, even, mm-hmm. I'd find, and you know, relax, find some place to decompress, to relax, then you can also, you might be able to diffuse it. If you go right away and you have it, then it, you know, you'll consume more and more and more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You might find that if you just take a moment, don't react to it, slow your reaction, just less reactive, then you might not want it in half an hour. You might not want it in an hour.
Mm-hmm. And that's difficult. So let's say you can't. Let's say that's not successful. Let's say even in the half an hour you still eat it anyways.
Yes.
What in the act? What about trying to be mindful of how you feel in the act?
Because I bet you exactly.
And I just said, that almost be mindful, because that type of eating to me is characteristic of mindlessness. Like it almost when you're giving into an emotional need to eat like that. You almost can't be in touch with yourself while you're eating it, because then you're going to be all conflicted while you're eating it.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying it with a grain of salt. You're absolutely correct. The whole purpose of the eating something more or satisfying, you know, whether it's a salty taste or a sweet taste or whatever, it does kind of numb you out. You can get lost in that item at that time.
Yeah, isn't that the whole point, just to be numb?
That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. So to actually be tapped in, to actually breathe, to actually pay attention to yourself, to actually stay attentive of your emotion is difficult, because that's the whole point. You don't want to be. That's why you're eating. You don't want to feel the stress, mm-hmm. the problem.
And this isn't like this isn't like a direct relation to being like depressed or having like a lousy relationship. This could be anything. It could be boredom.
Anything.
It could be boredom. It could be just stress. It could be something sad. Whatever. It could be
it's life.
Yeah. It could be trying to come down from some kind of an anxiousness. It's all over the place, right? So when we say emotion, we mean like a lot of different things, right?
It's life. Life is emotion. I mean, dealing with our emotions is what that's what life is. From the day we're born, from the moment we come out, mm-hmm. we're learning emotional mastery.
Yeah.
We're learning to manage our emotions, like even from a child, like, you know, managing our anger, managing this, having a temper tantrum. All of our learning from birth is emotional management.
They are quite a pain in the butt. I'd just as soon trade mine in for something else.
But we can get rid of it.
I know, but...
You know, so exactly. So therefore, food is a wonderful surrogate. But you will not easily necessarily identify it as emotions driving it, because food is just systemic. It's life. It's part of life. But absolutely.
And I'm just going to compound the problem here. The type of foods we typically go for are the ones that beget eating more of them too. It's not like we quell the emotions with a nice light salad. We do it with something that's rich. And those things we already know biochemically can have an influence.
Absolutely.
And they're Moorish, meaning they beget wanting to have more of them. I don't know if people have heard that term. So they don't necessarily satisfy hunger as much as they stimulate more consumption of the same item. Almost like an opiate drug where the high is better if you just keep taking more. So there's like a...
Yes.
It wouldn't be so bad. I mean... It wouldn't be so bad if it worked with just some vegetables and light dressing, and that could actually solve or at least quell this emotional problem. Like, but it doesn't work. The specific foods that work for numbing you to the emotions are the type that make you want to have more of them. And
that's right.
And there's not even a sense of satisfaction, the physiological sense of being sated from them. There's two different systems going on.
You're 100% correct. And because, for instance, if you have like chocolate, for instance, after the first bite or two, you're no longer tasting it.
Oh, no, it's almost like you're dosing a drug after
going and going and going, and you want that constant high, and the brain is designed that way. So, yeah, you're going to need more to get a greater high, and absolutely. So, but, you know, one other way is observe other people. Just take a moment. Out, and you're going to see the emotional eaters, and that doesn't mean people who even overweight. I'm not even saying that. You maybe have on extra 10 pounds, but I'm not saying anything. You know, that's and you can see their eyes. Watch them when they go to eat. I see that all the time. you watch the eyes. The eyes, like when they go to take that item, that extra item, the eyes light up. See the face. You know, this is not, I just like the cake. It's like, and they eat more, and then the eyes, like, and you're looking at the food. Watch the eyes, watch the physiological reaction, watch the emotional reaction. So then you can start to see that's you.
Right, right. And then you imagine, like, that's me. That's what I look like when I'm doing it.
That's right. And that's how I'm feeling. You can see it in people. You can watch them. They're going, that Moorishness, they're going back for more. You see their eyes lighting up. You know what I mean? This is like, this is just food. No, this is something that's giving them something more. So, I mean, and if you're recognizing that, then even if you're like, 10 pounds to lose, 20 pounds to lose, and you're like, but this is just me liking too much food. I just like a little bit. I just need to eat a little less. Pay a little more attention to your emotions. Mm-hmm. Pay a little more attention to what's driving you to eat that little bit more that's keeping on those extra pounds, so that you can, and that's where that mindfulness comes in. That's really the key. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, this isn't like a perfect solution, but this is like the first step into identifying if this is something.
From awareness.
Yeah. Like without the awareness, you can't even start to address any issue.
Yes, identify that this could be an emotion. What could that emotion be? Give a guess at it. And delay the gratification to the best of your ability. Just slow it down a little bit. Just slow yourself down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in some cases, you might surprise yourself what it is. You might, if you actually take a serious shot at this process of trying to label the emotion while you're in the middle of it, you might be surprised at what it was. You're like, oh, I'm doing this because I'm bored. Or I'm doing, like, you may not even know why it is.
Exactly. And one other way would be to keep a journal of it. Like, on Tuesday, when I started overeating or eating more than I needed to eat or really needed to have that, whatever, the chips or the cookies or the whatever, what was I feeling? What was going on for me? Mm-hmm. And pay a little attention. If you're keeping a journal, you might be then, I felt stressed or I felt anxious or I felt scared or insecure.
Or even afterwards, you might be able to label it all afterwards if it's too hard in the middle. And then I guess the only other thing to do in the short term is direct your future self. So let's say you piece it together and you're like, oh, I know why I did that day because this and this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's those other two things that happened that you need to like mitigate for the following time.
Yes. And by keeping that kind of journal of it, not just like if you keep a food journal, for instance, you're also putting an emotional journal. What was going on? How was I feeling at the time when I was eating? That, you know, eating more than I wanted to eat or needed to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then yes, absolutely, you could be prepared for future situations and be aware of those emotions and begin to have some labeling, identifying what's going on inside of you. That's more mindful. That's bringing awareness in. And then it's about how do you negotiate or manage these feelings with healthier coping styles other than food.
Mm-hmm.
If anxiety is driving you, then you need to work on the anxiety, not just modify your eating.
Yeah, and it's not about moving, like, it's not about having different foods like, available, because you'll go find them. Like, you'll drive as far as it takes to get the thing you need if it's the thing that's the mm-hmm. only thing that can help you deal with that emotion. So eventually you have to get to the underlying root cause, however long that takes. And it's like, again, it's not like a quick fix, but that's where the identification, it has to start with at least identifying it. So I guess that's really all we're going to be talking about today is...
Yes, you're getting to the true cause.
Yeah, that's getting to the true cause. And it's not an either-or thing. It's, you know, emotional eating is not just a ravenous mess of overeating. And it's not only people who are, like, morbidly obese who do it. Like, we all, everyone at some point has probably used food to calm down an emotion at some point or another. So... it's normal. It's human. There's nothing wrong with anybody. It's just kind of what happens. And then, but identifying it is the first step into sort of dealing with it.
And when it becomes a pattern, that's when the 5 pounds, the 10 pounds, the 50, the 20, the 20, mm-hmm. 30, 30, mm-hmm. that's when you start seeing that weight creeping up, or when you keep going up and down all the time, you're losing your weight, gain it back. That's when you see that unevenness.
Yeah.
Constant creeping on, that's emotions.
Yep. Yeah. I guess that's one of the biggest points here to remember is it's the pattern. I'm sure there's there could be one or two events that happen in a longer time frame where it just feels good to eat and it's, but you don't keep doing it, you know, like I don't know, something really traumatic happens and you're like, and you know, that's fine. That's totally normal.
That's normal.
Like I'll admit that I emotionally eat whenever I travel
Right.
because the whole experience of airports, big airports and planes, I find so awful
Right.
that I just accept the fact that I'm calming my emotions the entire day with food.
Right.
And
So
it's
you're
the
not.
only way I can actually enjoy get through a day of traveling without just
Right.
being miserable where when I finally get to my destination. So I'm happily just eating chips and chocolate and like burgers and stuff in the airport. And I'm like just I get it. I get exactly what I'm doing. I totally know I'm medicating with food. And then I
Right.
get there and I'm totally happy when I get there. But it's event specific. Like it's not a pattern. I only do it when I travel.
And you're mindful, you're actually aware that that's why you're doing
Oh, I go into I now I look forward to a travel day because I know I get
it.
to let loose. Because
And
before I used to like try to keep it tight and stuff and I'm like, I hate this. Like
right.
the airport sucks, the security, it's just an awful experience front for me anyways. I haven't I'm not like I don't have enough control over my emotions to handle the travel experience, so I need help that day. So if I'm not gonna use a pharmaceutical, I use food.
Right. And that's fine. You're right. That's a one-off. And it's not like you're not traveling every day.
And it's pre-planned. It's literally
It's
pre-planned
pre-planned
emotional eating.
and conscious. But if you're several times a week at the end of a stressful day, your food is your surrogate, or throughout the day, your food is your surrogate, and you're packing on pounds as a result, then you really do need to deal with those emotions of a pattern.
Then this is a bigger issue that needs to be dealt with.
And if you're just targeting then only calories, then you'll get yourself halfway out the gate. But the emotions are bigger than that. So you need to combine the two to get the results you want.
All right, well, I think that's a good place to leave this one.
Yep.
Yep. All right, so, well, that's a good one. We'll be back with another one in a couple of weeks. So for Nicola Bird, I'm John Barber, and that's your Venus Index Podcast.